In 2004, journalist Thomas Frank published a now-famous book that spent months on the bestsellers list. It was called What's the Matter with Kansas, focused on the state's shift from being an important player in the left-wing populist movement to an overwhelmingly conservative state. Recently, especially after the most recent election in which Governor Walker beat Mary Burke by a six-point margin and conservative majorities in the legislature grew, critics on the left have talked about Wisconsin in similar ways. Well, this coming Monday, Governor Scott Walker will be inaugurated for his second term, and we'd like to hear what you have to say at 800-642-1234. Do you think that Wisconsin has made a significant and long-term shift to the political right? If so, is that good news or bad news as you see it? You can call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Paul Fanlon's with us. He's editor of the Capital Times. He drew comparisons between Wisconsin's conservative shift and Kansas's in an article late last year. He's been writing about the political landscape since then. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, Wisconsin has been purple, at least in the view of national political commentators, for some years now. Is that changing? Are we moving toward a conservative state as a whole?
I certainly think we have in the last few years. I think the central change that we've seen in over the time that Governor Walker's been in office is a sense of one side winning and winning narrowly, relatively narrowly, and then kind of what I call a go-for-broke approach to governing, so that the 46, 47, 48% of people on the other side, who are still out there, really have had not much voice in what happens in the Capitol in the last few years. And so that's been, I think, the most pronounced thing, having watched state politics over the last 30-some years firsthand, that is dramatically different. What that means for the longer term, I think, is still unclear.
So why have Republicans had so much success in state elections?
Well, I think I wrote a major piece a couple of weeks ago talking about what I call the politics of resentment. I think there was a lot of agony, a lot of economic agony in the state in 2007, 2008, the Great Recession period coming out of that. And Republicans did a brilliant job. I give them high marks for their tactics and their use of language and their ability to focus the electorate against public workers, against teachers, and they really did a great job of making and playing off that resentment and winning the election in 2010, and then again this year for governor, and increasing their margins in the legislature. At the same time, I think watching the parties over the decades, there's always been an aggressive partisanship going on. But the Republicans, this version of Republican leadership in Wisconsin, has been doing more on aggressive reapportionment, redistricting to favor Republicans, and also things like voter ID, which I think a lot of us on the left think is a form of voter suppression. It's to suppress Democratic votes. So they've been very effective at that, too, and really focused on that.
So Republicans, you're saying effective messaging in the aftermath of the Great Recession. Democrats, did they fall down when it came to that kind of messaging?
I think they did. I think the protests here in 2011, if you were in Madison and saw the thousands of people gathered around the Capitol, you may have misinterpreted that as being a movement that had wider appeal than beyond than in Greater Madison and in the public employee circles, and it I don't think it really resonated very well with people across the state who had seen their benefits limited or their wages frozen.
There's been a lot of talk about increasing polarization in the state, people more locked into one side or the other, and to more extreme positions on that side. Are we at a point where we don't even know how to talk to each other about things like this and communicate across the partisan boundary effectively?
I hate to say it, but I think we are, and it'll take some pendulum swing from where we sit today to start to talk to one another again. Dale Schultz, the Republican state senator who had some very strong things to say on his way out of office, As an example of that, in Congress, you have a representative like Congressman Petri retiring. He would look like a centrist or even a moderate Democrat by today's Republican standards, replaced by Glenn Grothman, who is of the Tea Party right. So there really isn't a lot of communication across the aisle. And again, I go back to the point, and I won't, this is the last time I'll make it, but there isn't a lot of interest by Walker, by Governor Walker, or the Republican leadership in involving Democrats in a serious way. And to me, that's unprecedented, looking back over three and a half decades.
So you would say, if we contrast a Democratic Governor Jim Doyle or a Republican like Tommy Thompson, you saw more reaching across the aisle than you're seeing from Republicans today?
Particularly, Tommy Thompson wanted everyone. He wanted to be liked by everybody, and he wanted everyone's vote. So once he defeated an incumbent, Tony Earle, in the 1980s, each successive election, he increased his margin to the point that he won overwhelmingly, and that was important to him. That is not important to this Republican Party.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. We have Bill on the line in Milwaukee. Bill, hi.
Hi. You know, you shouldn't just focus on Walker. I think the Republicans wrote his coattails, but we have more Republicans in the legislature today because of Walker. And Walker is a fabulous governor. And why anybody be against him is beyond me. But the entire nation went Republican. We shouldn't forget that either.
Bill, thanks a lot for the call. A couple of points there. One, that some of the Republican shift we've seen in Wisconsin has been in big Republican wave years like 2010, Paul.
Absolutely. And I think the caller also makes a good point that this was a national Republican wave. I have an upcoming column in which I think, in which I suggest that the pendulum is not going to start to turn until the Republican argument about the size of government is not as important as the argument about who controls government. And the argument, the Republican argument nationwide about government being too big and too expensive and not very well run, has been in the mainstream, in the political ecosystem since Ronald Reagan, and it really has really been accepted by a large number of people.
Well, I want to throw a counter example at you. President Obama won Wisconsin in both of his elections. Senator Tammy Baldwin, considered one of the more liberal members of the Senate, won here in the last presidential election year. Is this a sign that maybe we're not on this trend to the right? We're just kind of oscillating here?
Well, that would be, from if one is a progressive, that would be a hopeful argument that that in a presidential year where more people come out, obviously those who pay attention to politics know the sharp contrast between a presidential year and an off-year election and how much better Republicans historically do then. And that was remarkable and startling. And there is an awful lot of Wisconsin history going back to Bill Proxmire and Russ Feingold electing unpredictable, unusual candidates. In some ways, Tammy Baldwin was that, coming as a liberal from Dane County, from Madison, in fact. So, yes, I mean, I think that it's hard to know what 1, 2, 3, and 4 years out is going to look like.
Monday is re-inauguration day for Governor Scott Walker. We're talking to Paul Fanlon with the Capital Times about, among other things, whether Wisconsin is making a significant, maybe a long-term shift to the political right, and we'll get into what that might mean if it does from his perspective and from your perspective. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think that Wisconsin is moving to the right, maybe staying there for a while, and what are the implications of that, good or bad, for the state? Call in 800-642-1234 or email talk@wpr.org. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're continuing our conversation with Paul Fanlon. He's editor of the Capital Times, talking about whether Wisconsin is making a long-term shift to the right politically and what that means for the state. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are we moving to the right in Wisconsin, or is there a pendulum swinging back and forth? Would you like to see the state move to the right politically? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Before we go back to callers, Paul, part of why you've been writing these pieces, as self-described someone coming from the left, you're worried about this shift to the right. What in particular has you concerned?
Well, I think actually there's a few things. I'm concerned about the what I consider to be the undercutting of public education, both K-12 and the University of Wisconsin system, and the ability of the University of Wisconsin to continue to be a world-class research institution, given these tides of, interference. I'm concerned about the potential sale of state assets, which you see some signs of the appeal. The Republicans' love of privatization, which I don't think is necessarily always a good answer. I think the regulatory, the environmental, and reproductive rights terrain is also problematic for anyone. I would say not just from the left, but from the political center. This Republican government led by Governor Walker is quite far to the right relative to where Wisconsin has been historically. So those are some of the thoughts.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. We have Travis on the line in Green Bay. Travis, hi.
Yeah, hey, how's it going?
Good. What do you got for us?
I was just kind of wanting to get in on the discussion about kind of what you were saying before about the pendulum swinging back and forth between Republicans and Democrats. And that's something that I've noticed kind of since I hit voting age back in the first Bush-Gore election. And yeah, basically, I guess my piece is I just wanted to call in and say that I know I've voted Democrat in every election since I was able to vote, and at least in the upcoming presidential election, and even in this election we just had, the midterms, I didn't vote Democratic, and I don't really necessarily intend to, nor do I intend to vote Republican either. I think that I can only speak for myself and the people that I know. But most of the people that would lean left or Democrat feel that, when they voted for Obama, especially the second time, that they were really hoping that, you know, the whole idea of change politically was actually going to come. And it's kind of more centrist and more of the same. And maybe people just kind of feel like they've been sold out and nobody really is representing them on the left.
Travis, thanks a lot for the call. So saying that people, Democrats, especially those toward the left, Paul, aren't feeling represented by the candidates, the party of the Democrats in Wisconsin and beyond.
Well, I think that's a fair criticism. I think it's something that the Democrats are doing, continue to do a lot of soul searching about. Of course, it's as someone who has followed Barack Obama through the two elections, and I do a lot of reading about these sorts of things and follow what he's tried to do. When the Republican leaders announce in the first month of his first term that their primary goal is to prevent him from having a second term, it sort of sets up what seemed to me an almost impossible situation for him. I do think, though, that the left and the Democratic Party has not done a great job of articulating a master vision, which is what I alluded to before the break about that government, that the Democrats don't want a big government. What they want is an effective government that is controlled by ordinary people and their interests, and not by the wealthy. And that seems to be a message that is not particularly out there.
Now, years ago, Ed Garvey, longtime Democratic organizer, made the case that there wasn't really a Democratic Party in Wisconsin anymore. It was kind of a skeletal framework. They counted on public employee unions to do the work of mobilizing people, and the Republican Party has done a better job of owning that kind of thing themselves. Was there something to that then? Is there something to that now?
I think there was, and I think there is, and I think the Act 10, which was the major union, public union bill, a law of 2011, was devastating to a core Democratic constituency and a core Democratic component. I think Ed was right about that then and right about it now. But there's a tension, I think, among the left about going sort of primal in terms of being really outspoken in terms of some left-wing issues versus trying to moderate and appeal to the center and to the center-right and center-left. And that's something I think the party continues to grapple with.
Go back to our callers. You've got Josh with us in Eau Claire. Josh, hi.
Hi. I was just thinking that, you know, Scott Walker is the definite Tea Partier, and there's no middle ground with the Tea Party. You're either, you got a sure brain in that party. Before, with Thompson, as a Republican, you know, he didn't have to agree with everything the Republicans do now. With the Tea Party, you are stuck on one gear, and that's it. If you don't agree line item with everything, you're not in the Tea Party, and you're out.
Josh, thanks for the call. Josh, making the case that the Tea Party's moved the Republican Party to the right, and maybe that the legislature, Republicans in the legislature, have a party discipline. They tend to stick together on issues.
They absolutely do. They do a brilliant job of staying together on issues and punishing anyone who steps outside of that. I've said before, I've written before, that one of the things related to that that concerns me is that I've talked to many business leaders, people in prominent positions, people who could really make a difference in terms of the public discourse about the direction of politics in the state, and they seem to be reluctant to get out in front against this tide of far-right Republicanism. And I lament that and encourage them to step up more.
Well, I mean, do they see some benefit in at least some of the economic proposals from a Republican majority?
Perhaps. This is a state with high property taxes and high personal income taxes, but they also are concerned about having a healthy middle class of consumers for their products and are concerned about issues like the health of the University of Wisconsin, reproductive rights, environmental and consumer regulations. So I've heard them voice those. But there did seem to be, in the last gubernatorial election, there did seem to be a reluctance to kind of come out in sort of full-throated opposition to the Walker administration, because it is enormously powerful, having won three times now. And and I just thought that was regrettable.
We'll go to Adam with us now in Janesville. Adam, hi.
Hi. I just had a question for the guest, then maybe a comment. I come from the left, but what does he think about the fact that we have absolute polarity between our two state senators?
Between Ron Johnson and Tammy Baldwin, one viewed very conservative, one viewed very liberal.
That's an interesting question. I think it's a perfect microcosm of where the state is these days. That Ron Johnson came in and in a wave election. I was in Russ Feingold's office that fall before the election, and the numbers had hardened, and of course Senator Johnson is a strong Tea Partier, and Senator Baldwin is anything but, and it's a reflection of this remarkable gulf between and this hyper partisanship that exists in Wisconsin. I don't know what to say about it beyond that. Other than that, it indicates that, As you pointed out a few minutes ago, Rob, that if this state can elect, can vote for Barack Obama comfortably twice and elect Tammy Baldwin, that there is a major potential for a shift. It just feels that it's pretty far away here on the eve of the governor's second inauguration and in an even more Republican and even more conservative legislature.
As we wrap up, what would Democrats and their supporters have to do to avoid becoming a permanent minority in Wisconsin politics?
That's interesting. I've written three or four times since the election, since the gubernatorial election, taking on various subjects. This an upcoming column to which I alluded earlier, I'm talking about language and tactics. I think the right has done such a better job tactically, talking about the size of government. I write in this column that we on the left, and I'm guilty of this as well, like to talk about income inequality. And I'm quoting an author in this column as saying, regular people don't talk about income inequality. They say they haven't had a pay raise in 4 years, or they got their health care cut back, or their wife got laid off. They talk in real people terms, and I think the Republicans do that really well. And I think the Democrats need to do better with language and tactics, but also I think the central point, and I think we may get there in the not-too-distant future, is the control of government. Who is the Walker administration, the Republicans? Who are they really listening to? Is it the Wisconsin Manufacturers of Commerce and wealthy out-of-state donors, or is it the rest of the ordinary people, regular people in Wisconsin?
We'll leave it there for now. Paul, thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure.
That's Paul Fanlund, editor of the Capital Times, talking about whether Wisconsin is making a long-term shift to the political right as Governor Walker gets ready for his second inauguration on Monday. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert will be back with me on Monday. This is the Ideas Network.